With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Run Home with Joel and Fletch, or neither Joel nor Fletch, thanks to the Hyundai Staria Load van. Drive away in a Hyundai Staria Load from $49,490. T's and C's apply. Good afternoon, Sydney, Brisbane and Gold Coast. Those listening across the SEN airwaves, 11:70 a.m. here in Sydney and 6:93 a.m. in Brisbane. If you missed any of the podcast, any of the show today, you can catch up via the podcast. Get that through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Slide into our DMs. That's Joel and Fletch's DMs, not mine and my co-host. Or email joelandfletch@sen.com.au. Welcome, Michelle Bishop.
Good afternoon. How cool is it to be working with you again? It's been a while.
Yeah, so the Joel and Fletch show with neither Joel or Fletch.
Just us.
We're a tourist. Welcome to you as well. Happy 30th birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Yeah, well, we won't call it
that. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Yeah, I feel old. Am I allowed to say that now that you're 30?
30?
Well,
that's insulting me.
Yeah,
100%. Not when you speak to a grandma.
I know. But no, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Don't say you know what it is, tourists? It's the first year where you get used to saying you're 30. And then you completely forget about it again. I assume until you're 40.
Yeah.
What happens when you're... I'm 49, so I'm just enjoying this. Then yeah. It's 50. Ooh, that hurts.
Have you got a party planned, tourist?
Out for dinner tomorrow night with the missus.
Where to?
And we're going to Moo Moo.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which Fletch told me is terrible and we should never go to.
But, oh, you know,
we've already got it booked in and I think it looks great. So
I went to Moo Moo on the Gold Coast, I think it is. That was nice there.
Yeah, so I think it looks great. Yeah. I'm not trusting Fletch.
It's pricey.
I'm not paying. I don't care.
That's fancy for your 30th.
And we got drinks next weekend with a bunch of friends.
And so what was your present?
Don't know yet. Don't know.
Missus
went up and got to work earlier. She starts earlier than me, so I'll find out tonight or tomorrow or whenever if I get anything.
Love a good surprise.
Yeah. I don't want anything. I'm not that type of person. Presents aren't for me.
Yeah, but everyone says that. You know, if someone says, "Don't get me a present,"
they really say, "Can get me a present. Make sure it's a good one."
Yeah. We've got a present for you later.
You'd be a great husband because you'd read me really well. I say, Justin, don't worry about a present. If he didn't get one, he wouldn't have a home to come home to.
Yeah, true. We've had a couple where Rosa said to me, we won't do presents this year, and so I get a present.
That's just to make you feel bad.
Yeah, I think so.
I can tell you how it works, how it rolls.
lots of footy yesterday, Michelle, but you were on air. For some of the games, but did you get to enjoy the Anzac Day festivities outside of on-air time?
Well, I got up really early and I was down out the Central Coast visiting the family. So I went to Tukley RSL, which is in our whole household, it's just a must. We've done it even since we were kids and we've carried on the tradition. And I just think it's super important that we let our kids understand the history of the country and why we live the life that we're living today. It's super important. But as far as the footy goes, there were some ripper matches. I actually couldn't help myself. I did text Desi Hasler just to say congrats, mate, because it was building.
Nice one.
I was up there Manly versus Titans and they were so close in that one. Lots of similarities in yesterday's game as well. The Roosters, they've just grown another leg. Sam Walker, he is just unbelievable. At 21, being able to play the type of football he plays, eyes up footy. Isn't it funny? Like, you know, less than 6 months ago, people were talking about moving him on and he's not the future Rooster.
Yeah,
and
he's
playing
reserve grade.
Oh, rugby league is just so funny. But the thing that's got me really sort of fired up is yesterday leaving here was the kickoff. When I got home, speaking to, you know, some of the women, some of the mums, they've got young children. I'm probably one of the only ones in our group that has older children. And the key response was, my child is never playing rugby league. It's just not going to happen. He'll never get a football in his hands. And look, I understand that. And I've been around rugby league forever. I'm such a purist, but I'm one now sticking my hand up saying, hey, we need to get creative. We need to change this kickoff. It was appalling. It made me feel sick yesterday.
That's a couple of times now. It happened in Origin last year as well. Off the kickoff on the biggest stage for the game, you know, sold out crowd, Anzac Day, people watching around the country. We start with a knockout and it's quite spectacular the way it happens, but you're right, it's not a great look for the game. I guess my question would be, how do we fix it? Have you got any ideas?
Well, the short kickoff is obviously there as a, we need to incentivize
it. A la rugby union or off the tee short?
Off the tee short.
Off the tee short.
Now, you know what? The other thing is this morning when I came in, I said to the tourists, because I was obviously fired up about it. I said, we need to get creative. I don't care even if it's an AFL style ping pong, aerial ping pong thing where we throw the ball up. And I mean, that obviously didn't make a great lot of sense, but I was trying to get creative. And with that, I was sort of thinking maybe our wingers could be a little bit more involved. But look, I get that the kickoff, it's an iconic part of our game. It's what we all love. But to me, honestly, I reckon we lost out of that yesterday 100 junior registrations. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to get Fettingham about. I love our game. I love the brutality. But I think in you know, 3, 4, 5 years, we'll be talking about, I'll remember that used to happen. Like we do with the talking about when, you know, the good old days of rugby league, you know, way back when. I just think that it's got to be a thing of the past. And it's got to happen pretty quickly.
Once the conversation starts, history shows us that it's almost inevitable. I remember when they started talking about the shoulder charge, well, its life was cut shorter than I would have liked. But yeah, the shoulder charge was gone. We started the same with punching. Oh, this is a bad look. And it ended up as it did.
It's funny, in the car, I called, not sure if you're going to remember this one, but I think it was 2012. Tim Grant made his debut, Origin debut.
Huge, and that
was
return. The first.
Yeah, well, I rang him. I said, Timmy, what do you reckon? You know, he's doing some welfare work at the Tigers right now. And I rang him. I said, do you remember? He goes, do I remember? Of course I remember.
Highlight of his
he's
career.
Like, yeah, well, yeah. He said it's about the only thing I'm remembered for. And I said, don't be ridiculous. Remembered for a lot more than that. But I mean, even hearing from him, you know, he was sort of on the same sort of level. You know, we have to be a little bit creative. We need to incentivize, certainly not completely change it, because as we all know, it's an iconic part of the game. But I'd love to hear our listeners today give us their what for. As I say, I don't want to, you know, throw a cat amongst the pigeons here and think I'm the expert at everything, because I'm certainly not. But you know, taking off my supporters hat and my, you know, being in rugby league forever and ever and being a mum on the sideline and knowing what how detrimental it is to the future of our game, I just think we need to be proactive in this space, not reactive.
If you've got some ideas on how we can fix up this kicking, this kickoff conundrum, 0457 736 736 is the number to give us your ideas. We've got Scott Sattler on later in the show, Michelle. We might ask him what he thinks about that kickoff. Here's what Shane Flanagan had to say about the kickoff yesterday.
It's a tough one, isn't it? You know, we want to play this really tough gladiator sport, and we want to get down there, and especially off kickoffs, and have good contact with the front rowers. And but we see it too often. I don't know the answer, but yeah, we see it too often. And you know, when it happens to one of your players, and it's just not nice to see. And I don't know how we stop it unless we start with a play the ball of a kick of a game, and that'd be not something that I'd like to see. But we need to definitely look in the modern game. We can't have these concussions. We need to look after the players, and you know, the short dropouts and all that sort of stuff has probably changed it a little bit. But once again, I don't know the answer.
We basically, we very rarely see a long dropout now off a restart. So we pretty much have taken that collision out of the game, haven't we?
Pretty much, but
How do you encourage a short kickoff? Because if you're the one kicking off, you're giving up 40 metres of field position straight away. So how do we entice a defending team
tough
to
one.
Kick short? Yeah, that's the thing I can't get my head around. Obviously, it's super obvious for the dropout because they prefer defending on their line than sort of 20, 30 metres out. But giving up that, potentially giving up that 40 metres of field position or possession, for the defending team.
And I think the other side
that's
of it is a tough one, and that's why we want to hear from our listeners, because they're generally experts. But the whole 18th man and waiting for two people to be ruled out before they can be, you know, activated, I just think that's the bench has to be looked at. I mean, I know that people have been talking about this, but these are the issues. You don't want to be tweaking with the game at the back end of the year. It ain't broke, don't fix it. How they, you know, seem to be playing with things where you think, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But these are the types of things that are detrimental to the future of the game and the young kids playing it. So there's another one for us to think about. Hope at the end of the year that when they do their little sit down in their little room and work out what they do, that they look at that whole bench situation
as
well.
Does it need immediate attention, the kickoff, or can we wait till the end of the year?
Well, I'd love to see it immediate, but I think if we act now, we're going to get it wrong. We need time to implement this, and we need to make it fair across the board. So, you know, let's do it from round one or from the pre-season, trial it in the pre-season in 2025.
If you've got an idea, we'd love to hear from you as well. 1300 01 1170 is the number to give us a call and have a chat to Michelle and I. And we've got Mark from Port Kembla who's done just that. Good afternoon, Mark.
Hey, Mr. It's Mick. How are you, mate?
Mick, good. Mick, how are you?
G'day. Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm good. G'day, Michelle. Look, respectfully, just to your point, Michelle, that you brought up, there's every chance, there's about 2% chance that any of those parents' kids anywhere getting anywhere close to playing NRL for a start. We can't go changing the rules of professional sport because mum and dad get worried about little Johnny getting hurt. It just can't happen.
I don't agree.
You know, things like that don't happen on kids when kids are playing rugby league because they're taught different things and it's not an actual full-blown professional sport they're playing. So we have to be very, very careful, not just kickoffs. I'm talking in a general sense. So if we try and adjust the professional game of NRL to suit parents freaking out about their kids playing it, we are going down a very, very rocky path.
What do you think Mr. and Mrs. Sully thought of that yesterday? They're still their kids.
Well,
they're someone's
kids. I tell you what Mr. Sully should have done. Hargo's got him cold. He looked at you. I balled the other bloke and stepped into Sully right at the last minute. And Michelle, Mr. Sully's a grown man. He can decide he wants to play NRL or not.
No, I understand that. I'm just saying to you, it is a professional sport, but you know what? We need kids to go through grassroots and through the systems to grow up to be part of the NRL. And if we're not putting kids in sport, you know, we'll suffer at the back end at some stage.
I take your point, but they're fixing that now with the league tag. So I think the league tag, and I've been grandfathered to the other ages, but I think league tag now till under 10s or 11s, I'll stand corrected, but they're already starting to do that to make it a safer game early on, which I agree with. I have no issue with that.
Yeah.
But at some point, it's a professional game that has been born on collisions. I get the CTE stuff, and I understand it. But really, in a big picture, I know you mentioned Origin, but in the amount of collisions that are in a game, I know that was that was a big moment off the kickoff. I understand all that, but let's do some proper analysis of how often it actually happens. Mm.
Well, I just feel like when you've got actual players coming out and discussing it and feeling like that it needs to be changed in some way, shape, or form. As I said to you, I'm with you. I'm the biggest, oldest. I've grown up with rugby league. My dad played. My brothers played. You know, I've been in it for a very long time, and I love it. I love every bit about it, but I'm talking about if we want longevity, we want our game to, you know, kids to be competing. And the other thing we haven't sort of discussed is the fact that the mothers that are making these decisions, they're not invested like us. They're not going to know. They're not going to get to the ground to learn about league tag. They're not going to even go to inquire or get that far. They'll see this on the TV and think, and which is exactly what happened last night in a group chat that I was in with grown women, sort of saying, you know, like, oh, my kid's never doing that. And it's unfortunate.
All right. It's definitely a different perspective there, Mick. Thanks for your call. Let's get
Mick.
Denny from Bexley. Denny, good afternoon.
Hey guys.
How you doing?
We're good, Denny. What do you think about this kickoff?
Look, I think the kickoff needs to stay the way it is, but the only way you're going to give an incentive for a team not to give up any yards is maybe if it's short, like if it's a short kickoff and you go for it, you only defend 3 sets of tackles instead of a set of 6.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
That's good. That's thinking outside the box. I don't mind it. But do you think there's a serious problem and this needs to be changed straight away, Denny, or would you rather it stay as it is?
I think stay as it is. Sorry, I'm a bit old school, but
I know it's so hard. I'm not on here to be, you know, controversial. I'm feeling like there's an issue, and yeah. Anyway.
All right. Thanks for your call, Beck. Denny, we've got Frank from Bosley Park. Afternoon, Frank.
G'day, team. How are we going there?
Yeah, we're good,
Frank.
We're
fired up.
great. Yeah, I'm listening to your comments, but it made me think, what about on the fifth tackle when they kick through? A receiver takes the ball, he's going to run into four or five defenders anyway. What's the difference? You know, I mean, you're going to eliminate the kick on the fifth tackle if we eliminate the kickoff.
Yeah, I often think the same thing. One of the hardest runs in rugby league is when the fullback gets that first kick in Origin after the first set of six.
Yeah.
He inevitably gets belted to within an inch of his life. It's a good point.
You know, and even if it's just a short kick through, whoever retrieves the ball, receives it and runs it back, he's going to run into a wall. He's going to run into... No, it happens all the time. I don't think you can just isolate the kickoff.
Yeah.
You know, the game is it's physical, and I think it was just an unfortunate accident.
Oh, it absolutely is an unfortunate accident, but just wondering if it's something that we can try and eliminate.
All right, that was Frank from Bosley Park. Next up, we got Luke from Penrith. Jeez, Michelle, you've opened a can of worms here. Afternoon,
sorry,
Luke.
Guys, it's Friday. We're supposed to be chilling down, winding down.
Hey guys, how are you? I was just thinking, you know. The players, every time there's a kickoff, the players don't have to run it straight and hard. You know, it's like a stereotype. You just have to do that. And also, the other thing is, you know, I don't want to sound like a know-it-all, but I feel like the tackling technique is nowhere near what it used to be. No one ever goes and puts their heads around the hips and tackles around the legs anymore. Everyone's all standing tall and high, like Sully was yesterday. You know, they're all up straight when they're running really hard. It doesn't make sense to me. But, I mean, like I said, with the kickoff, you know, I know it's not easy to tell teams what to do, but they don't have to run straight and hard like Jarrett Rehargreaves did yesterday. But
yeah.
I don't know.
It's almost like a bit of a tradition, isn't it, Luke? But sometimes you see a team, and it may be because they're down by 20 or something, they get the ball back off a kickoff and they spin it a couple of passes wide. All of a sudden, lo and behold, they make 20, 30 metres off a kick return. Do you think there's room for that, Luke, to maybe incentivise teams somehow to spin the ball in the first tackle?
Absolutely, I agree with you. I reckon if you're going to, if people don't like how the kickoff is, instead of just getting rid of it, I think just implement something like that, like what you're saying, like implement putting it through the hands. And not exactly sure, but I think that's a better idea than completely banning it. And also tackle technique, I think.
Yeah, agree. Another really good point of view there, Michelle. Let's get one more before we go to a break. Lucas from Brisbane.
Hey, Lucas.
Yeah. Hey, guys. How you going?
Good.
Hey, I was just thinking, I was just sort of thinking about this after yesterday as well. You know, possibly one quick fix could be you just don't let the defence engage with the ball carrier until the 20-metre line or something like that, or the 10-metre line.
Mm. I kind of feel
generally...
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
We're just
generally with
track.
A kickoff, you know, you're putting it into the in goal. You know, the ball carrier is going to run 10, 15 metres. I mean, so if you just have that, you know, say 20 metre zone where the defence can't engage, I know I love rugby league. I've played it till I was 27, the collision aspect, it's what everyone loves, but you're sort of taking that collision out of it just a tad. That was just something that I thought about after seeing it yesterday.
I like that idea. May be our best idea so far. Thank you, Lucas.
Thanks,
Michelle,
Lucas.
What was that? Two, five, six calls? Holy smokes.
Well,
we still have more there on the
At least people are thinking about it on the back of yesterday. I'm not on another planet like Des was the other week. I'm here, I'm with us.
You know what would be really interesting to see with this matter as well? These really bad knockouts of kickoffs often happen in really big moments.
Yesterday.
I know, exactly. When I played footy, and I played nowhere near this level, I didn't want a bar of that first run as the ball carrier or the tackler in a game. And I was a second role. But when it was a big game, or if I was particularly pumped up, I wanted to be a part of that tackle.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's a direct correlation between big games and the players wanting some action early on, wanting to go in hard that first hit and these knockouts. And that was probably one of the worst examples we've seen yesterday of Moses Sully, a center, probably shouldn't be the one putting a shot on Jared Warrior Hargraves off the kickoff, should he?
No.
It should be the front rowers.
Absolutely.
But he wanted a piece of the action, and that's what happened.
Before we go to a break, here's another good one off the text line. No name, but why don't we just give kickoff at your 40-metre line? 10 metres closer would reduce the impact. So these are the things. Yeah. These are all the things that we're...
What about another thing for the ball carrier, the returner? They can't be outside the field of play. For example, I'm sure Jared would have come behind the dead goal line to catch that, to run onto that ball. So they've got 40 metres run up. The guy's coming to tackle him. Jared's got 20, 30 metres run up. So they're both at absolute top speed by the time that impact happens. We have to lessen that somehow, maybe.
We certainly do.
In saying that, one of my favourite moments ever, James Graham and Sam Burgess of the kickoff in the grand. So I'm so conflicted.
See, this is the sick part. It's like a train wreck and we're just waiting for it to happen and we're getting off on it. We want to see it again, but it's just not good for the game.
All right, I promise we will talk to Scott Sattler about this a little bit later. As I said, give us a text during the show, 0457 736 736. We're seeing all of your texts come through about the kickoffs. We'll get to a few of those just after the break. Welcome back to The Run Home with Joel and Fletch. Thanks to the Hyundai Staria load van. Drive away in the Hyundai Staria load from 49,990. T's and C's apply. Now, we didn't get a chance to say what's coming up on the show, Michelle. So, we're just watching it actually now, live, Live Golf.
What about the crowd? How impressive is this?
So, the host of Patton Heels on SENQ, Pat Welsh, is coming to us from Live Golf in Adelaide. Live Golf is on in Adelaide, April... Well, it's on in live in Adelaide from today, April the 28th. Final tickets at livegolf.com. You'd be lucky if you get any because it looks packed there. Of course, we've got Sports Day Scott Sattler. And we've got Canberra Raiders' newest recruit, Morgan Smithies. Looking forward to that chat. We'll ask him about the kickoff as well.
Yep.
And then we've got SEN track analyst Dean Watling. Give us some winners for tomorrow. All right, Michelle, this text board is lit up.
It's lit up. We've gone crazy. This is insane. Move the ball off the kickoff to the centres and wingers. It's up to the coaches and players to change the way they start the game. That's on the text. Just
kind of like what Lucas said. I really like that idea.
Yeah. Easy straight after the kickoff, a three tackle
set.
Well, that's supposed to be a set. Yep. That's from Shane. And we'll go to Chad. Perhaps if you don't get the ball back off a short kickoff, the opposition team only gets a five tackle set.
Yeah, so that's a common theme.
Yeah.
Don't get the ball back off the short kickoff. The other team doesn't get as big of advantage as being up at halfway. Because it's a bit too much, isn't it?
Yep.
The dropout I get, the kickoff, if the other team catches it on their 40, they're going to get an attacking kick again.
Yeah. I'm loving the fact that our listeners are buying in and being a little bit creative. There's a certain tone there that, you know, people are sort of saying, go away, don't play with our game, don't mess it up. And I get that. I fully understand that, guys. I love it. I love the whole kickoff scenario. It's the best. It's what we all look forward to. But I just, as I said, off the back of that yesterday, it's created a bit of conversation and it does concern me that moving forward, we won't get kids registering to play the best game in the world.
Heaps more text here to get through. 0457 736 736. We've got to get to the news. We'll get to more of your texts after that.
He's got Coates chasing for a hat trick.
No way.
Three tries for Coates. Three try assists for Munster. Hand in glove. Batman and Robin, they're on fire at the moment. Munster and Coates. Starsky and Hutch, take who you want. The pair, Bonnie and Clyde, it doesn't matter. It's a wonderful combination.
Ball. What a pass. Teddy time. Off you go. Tedesco's turn. Played to Watson. Walker with another one. It's another try. This is the puppeteer.
Darren Shoup wearing 22.
Shot. Tackle right there from Laban.
Laban from his left. There's Laban. Smack down the young man from Wellington.
Laban laid the one down, didn't he? Here comes Kelly. Good ball to Camparada. He's got the gas and he's got Brimson right there. Oh, that's brilliant from the Titans. Very good try. Exciting rugby league. And that's exactly what the visitors needed there to strike back.
There it is. It was an NRL bonanza yesterday. Three games. Jeez, I felt spoiled. I was just thinking, you know, Anzac Day, three games, beautiful weather, people two
great.
Up.
Heaven.
Oh,
it was great.
Heaven.
The Titans, I was.
Yeah, let's start with that game.
Them. Super pumped for them, especially for Desi. As I said to you, I couldn't help texting. But look, they were close and probably unlucky, and that's coming from a Raiders supporter, against the Raiders. But then I actually was sidelined with the when they played the Seagulls, and that was like a seesawing match. He asked them to work on a couple of things, so that was obviously possession, discipline, And they, you know, they capitalised there and became like same so close. And look, they started yesterday, and you're thinking, oh gosh, here we go again. They were, you know, two tries down or whatever. But
yeah, I was just an insight. I gave all our SEN listeners a little tip into a multi the other day, which the first leg of that was the Warriors. That was my lock of the week almost. I was so confident. The first ever Anzac Day game in New Zealand, home ground for the Warriors, sold out. The importance of the game for them, baffled. Yeah, that occasion, they couldn't get up for it and they got beaten by the winless Titans. The Titans were great. Don't get me wrong. They must be super proud of that performance.
Still some really worrying signs with their defence.
For the Warriors, I mean, they've now dropped to, they're now at $26 to win the comp. So they've dropped way down in the pecking order. And the word that keeps getting bandied around is pretenders.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far, but it's going to be interesting to see how Andrew Webster responds because, of course, he did mention in the press conference yesterday, oh, it's not the first time, you know, we've lost three in a row. This is unfamiliar territory because back in like last year, rookie coach, there was no expectations on him whatsoever. But, you know, this year he's come in with a solid side and there are big expectations on the back end of what they were able to pull off last year. So it's going to be interesting. You heard, you know, the usual, you know, comments of we've got to go back to playing like us again. And it's funny, I love how players don't turn up. They've got to go back to who they were. The words that get used are absolutely hilarious. But I do want to focus on the Titans, though, because AJ Brimson was sensational for them yesterday. Mm. But I'm loving the fact that Des Hasler's working out the best way to use David Fifita. And having him coming off the bench the way he is, he's absolutely brilliant. Like he said he was working on his game management after, you know, obviously he didn't do a full preseason with the pec injury. But seeing him come on and what he can do when he does, he's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Well, I'd love to hear from Warriors fans on the text line 0457 736 736. So the Warriors have beaten the Raiders, the Knights, and South.
There you go.
But we kept, and I was doing it as well. I kept talking about them as premiership heavyweights. They're, you know, in my top four at the end of the year. My co-host Scope on Mowers on Saturday said he had them winning the minor premiership. He looked ahead through the draw and thought they had a pretty favourable draw, and he thought they'd win the minor premiership. But I was sitting back yesterday, I think at one point they had maybe 20 tackles inside the opposition 20 to the Titans, none.
Yep.
And they just could not get across the try line.
I'll tell you what, Adam Fanua Blake though, 222 metres and he had 6 tackle breaks yesterday. He's, you know, wow, he was on fire. But I'm not going to say that they're, you know, going to be terrible for the rest of the year, but I just don't put them up there with you know, everyone's been raving about them. There's some solid sides in this competition, a la the Roosters.
Yeah, but my last question for you on that game, was it that the Titans were amazing or were the Warriors poor?
I don't think the Titans were amazing. I think the Warriors were poor.
Yep.
I didn't see much of a lift, much of a difference from the Warriors against Manly. As I say, there were so many similarities in that game. One thing about the Titans that I'm watching closely is how physical they are and just for how long they're physical. And it's to the end of the game. They're not being, you know, there were some lapses in defence, sure, but they were up in their faces constantly. And as I said, that was the same as the way they play against the Seagulls. They're a very young side, the Titans. You know, a long way to go. I'm not going to say they're going to, you know, do much this year at all. But I put it this way. I don't put Des Hasler in the same category as your Jason Demetrios and your Brad Arthurs. Put it that way.
Fair enough. Here's what Kieran Foran had to say about that late charge from the Warriors.
Yeah, oh yeah, you could feel the momentum shift for sure. You know, they scored a couple of tries there and the crowd got up and, you could feel, like I said, the momentum change, but extremely proud of the defensive effort there at the end. I mean, they had, I don't know how many sets down on our sort of try line and we just kept turning up. And as Des said, we've sort of been building towards that. We just had to find a way to win. It was as simple as that. We couldn't afford to drop that one, and I think you could feel the desperation out there by the boys.
The Titans have 3 home games coming up. So they've got the Storm at home, tough.
tough.
The Cowboys at home, which is showing that it may be winnable, and the Knights at home. So not the worst run over the next 3 weeks. Whereas the Warriors have got the Knights away in Newcastle, the Roosters at Allianz here in Sydney, and then the Panthers. So they have got a tough run coming up.
Yeah, extremely.
Anything?
They'll respond.
Yeah, I think they will as well. You have to wonder about Sean Johnson. The coach said during the week, you know, he's playing injured and how brave he was. Do you keep playing him injured or do you let him rest up and get that injury right so he can get back to full health?
Yeah, well, I guess you look at the games that they've got coming up and you know, obviously not having the intricacies in and around how full on the injury is. But, yeah, for mine, you'd kind of want to get that sorted ASAP.
All right, the second game, the Sydney Roosters 60 defeat the Dragons 18. That was at Allianz, a sellout, as we spoke about. Moses Sully gone after, it says 10 seconds in our rundown, but what, 3 seconds?
Yeah,
4 seconds? That really, look, the Dragons still looked really good to start the game, but when you lose a centre and you don't have a back on your bench, you're up against it. They moved Eisenhuth to centre, which, you know, is a huge ask of him. And I thought the Dragons were just unlucky to start the game. They were in it for a little bit, but when the Roosters really got going, they looked like the Roosters of old.
Oh, Sam Walker at 21 and the way the eyes up footy that he plays, it's unbelievable. And as we were just talking about it before, you know, 6 months ago, he wasn't the answer. He wasn't the future of the Roosters. He was dropped back to reserve grade. Very, very interesting stuff. I just was reading a quick text there. I think it was from Pedro saying,
does this mean Mission that
Robbo can coach again? Yeah. I don't think he was ever not in a position to coach, but certainly, well, a couple of weeks ago I was asked whether we put a line through the Roosters, and you never can you? They were on yesterday. That's the other thing. Obviously, having a little bit of experience in that area with my nephew playing there, Adam Kieran, I know the lengths that Robbo goes to with Anzac Day and getting them and building them for the occasion. And clearly he did that again. And that's not to take anything away from the Dragons. Flano would have been all over it as well. He even said, he admitted in the press conference last night, he doesn't think the occasion got the better of them. That wasn't the issue. But he certainly got some issues there at the Dragons. Well, he also didn't blame the Sully thing. He said that was irrelevant as well.
Yeah, he's not giving his team any excuses.
Isn't it funny to see how coaches, and I guess whether they be veteran coaches, we can call Flano a veteran coach, the way they do respond. I mean, he wasn't, we talk about, you know, Brad Arthur for weeks and weeks, he's protected his players up until probably the last 2 or 3 weeks. The last week definitely, but prior to that, he was edging towards, I'm going to heap it on the players now, I've copped the blame for long enough. And then Wooshka, he went right on with it, part-time players.
Yeah.
I want my players to turn up and own the
game.
And,
hard options.
You know, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's funny how the different coaches respond in different ways.
Yeah, really interesting. As you said, Sam Walker was probably the star of the match. This is what James Tedesco had to say about his performance.
He owned the game with, which is what we want from him as a young half. We want him to control the team and, you know, the instinctive stuff, the kicking, and yeah, he sees the game really well. So that's, yeah, he's been doing it at training for years now. But I think just the next step for him is owning the team as our half, and you know, he did it in different ways today. But yeah, he's always improving. And yeah, it's first game back and missing a couple of weeks, and he didn't miss a beat.
Yeah, and he'll provide great backup if anything was to happen to Daly Cherry Evans for that Queensland side as well. Just on Shane Flanagan, you said he didn't make any excuses for his team. This is what he had to say about their performance.
I couldn't wait till it finished, to be honest. We didn't start too bad. And then, you know, we tried to make some stuff up. There was, you know, a pass from Zach and they scored. And then they scored quickly again. And it was all of a sudden from a good start, you know, leading by 6-0. And even at 6-all, we were competing well. It was set for set. And then, you know, they got possession and it was rolling up the field, getting repeat sets, and they're coming off the back fence and we couldn't handle them. They've got some good athletes, and yeah, we went back, come down to earth with a thud.
Big one, bang.
Yeah.
And it hurt.
Big thud. So they've got the Sharks next. Did you hear that little grab that Shane Flanagan gave about the Sharks? He ripped into the, he didn't rip into the Sharks, but he said, oh, you know, really looking forward to that game. Yep, I've circled it on my calendar. I think they said, how does he think the Sharks are going? He said, well, To my knowledge, I don't think they've won a premiership since I was at the club, have they? So just a little, there'll be a bit of feeling in that match, more so than usual.
But I reckon there's a couple that Shane circles on the calendar. I know he listens to our program. There'd be a few, and that's definitely one of them.
I'm really looking forward to it. It was actually going into I know every year it's a close game just because of the magnitude of it, but going into this year with the Dragons in a better position, I was so much more excited for that Anzac Day clash. Didn't pan out, but I'm enjoying the fact that the Dragons got a bit of go about them this year. Mm. It's a nice change.
We talked about this during the week, what Shane's been able to do, even in such a short period of time, and bring Kyle into the mix, I think has been fantastic. But the biggest one is Ben Hunt. His complete 360 turnaround on, I want out, I want to go and go to Queensland, I don't want to be here anymore. He looks like he's signed, sealed and delivered for quite some time, even beyond his contract.
The Roosters next week take on Brisbane. We've seen them do it against St George. Can they back that up against the top side?
Oh, I think they're on a roll now. I think that this will be the start of them doing. There'll be egos in this one. It's talk of Sam Walker, obviously going to Brisbane. There's a lot to play for next week.
Beautiful. And in the third and final game yesterday, the Melbourne Storm 54 defeated the South Sydney Rabbitohs 20. Have we seen the last game for Jason Demetriou?
I'd hate to say it because I love him as a bloke, but it's not working clearly. Really challenging times there for the Bunnies. Today I thought to myself, I don't want to just, sit here for 5 minutes and heap, dramas on the South Sydney Rabbitohs when we really could be talking about just how awesome the Storm were.
Yeah,
Cam
absolutely.
Munster, Jerome Hughes, Big Nelson was back because he took a week to warm up. But look, going back to South Sydney, it's broken. There was supposed to be a board meeting on Tuesday, whether or not they bring that forward. I just think that it's the damage is done. There was talk about Dave Ferner coming in and changing and working on their defence and all the rest of it. For mine, even what's ugly about that is Jason Demetriou was offered Ferner way back when Burgess and Morris left, and it was an outright no, we're good, we're sweet, thanks, we'll move on. Now he's obviously been put there at being told he's going there, he's in there, it hasn't been up to Jason Demetriou, so there'd probably a little bit of angst amongst, the ranks there. But it's not working. It hasn't worked. Some crazy moments. Their defence was non-existent. Disciplinary issues. And then the Tane Mill, that madness at the moment, at the back end just summed it up for me.
All right. I'd love to dive into this a little more deeply. And maybe if you've heard any whispers around the traps when it comes to South Sydney. So we'll get to a break. And we'll talk more South Sydney after this. You're on the run home thanks to the Hyundai Staria load van. Drive away in a Hyundai Staria load from $49,490. T's and C's apply.